What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 327, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing, typically every week. And with me is my co-host over there, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Yeah, we're here just about every week.
Unless Bob has to go on vacation or
Ryan has
something going on or, you know, yeah. Something. But we're typically here every Wednesday. So,
yeah.
So how you feeling? It's Wednesday. It's podcast and gaming good. Night.
Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday I was a little down. I had way too much barbecue at lunch, like just overdid things and was like, oh, you were checking in. You're like, you good for the pod tomorrow? And I was kind of like, man, if I make it through today, yeah, I'll be all right. So. Here we are.
What kind of barbecue did you have?
I had some St. Louis style dry ribs, and then there was another style of dry rub ribs. I had some fatty brisket. What else did I have? Some smoked chicken, some baked potato salad, and then just like a garden salad.
Well, that garden salad just saved you, huh?
Yeah. It was covered in ranch, so it wasn't good for me or anything.
No, I actually prefer the. So the dry rub rib over a wet rib. Like if there's sauces, like I'll put it on if I want it, but I like just the flavor of the, and actually when I get wings, most of the time I typically get like one wet and one dry rub. So like either or, you know, but mostly, like I said, I like a lot of dry rub stuff. So, well, we're glad you made it on the podcast. You're not, you know,
I wasn't worried.
No. Yeah. So in the chat, we have Old Man. If you guys are in the chat, definitely say what's up. Good to see all of you guys here. We do have a show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So if you want to check that out, you can. You can scroll through and see everything that we're going to be talking about this week. Some really cool stuff. And I'm going to start by saying that in the world of keyboards, there's so many different options. You can build your own keyboard. There's custom options. And it's, at least for me, it takes a lot for a keyboard to really stand out, you know, not only in terms of what it looks like, but as far as performance as well. And I think the keyboard that I took a look at this past week really, really showed just those two things. And I'm not a person who's going to build their own keyboard. I haven't got into that. I don't even know everything that goes into it. I'm sure I could do it, but I just haven't had the time to really learn how to do it and really get into it. So that's where we have a lot of these keyboards that are kind of pre-built, but they have that very custom look. They're not your typical gaming keyboard that has RGB on it. They're really different. So this week I took a look at the Melgeek Mojo 84 keyboard, and I'll show it to you guys because it's just so cool looking. Like, look at that.
I saw this like before you, I think you may have had it, but I saw it outside of you having it, and I was like, oh, this thing's so cool. Says, and sure enough, you show up with it.
Yeah, it says plastic on the front. Yeah, on the front. Awesome. The whole thing has a plastic casing, so you can actually see what's inside of it. It's a clear plastic casing, which I really like. And if you look at the – good thing I don't have it plugged in because I'd be pressing a bunch of buttons. But as you can see, the oversized legends on the keycaps and the cool kind of – you know, this is plastic design on the, you know, on the keycaps, just a really, really awesome looking keyboard. So just on looks, this keyboard's really cool. As I said, this is the Mojo 84. This is in 75% keyboard, I believe. It's basically the same size or gives you the same options as a TKL, but it's kind of smashed together. You still get your arrow keys and you still get a full function row. It's going to take up less space on your desk, which I really like. And it is, you can use it three different ways too. So there is a little, you can kind of see the connector there. So it's USB type C. I'll show you the cable in a second because the cable actually matches the keyboard as well. And there's a little switch right there. That switch allows you to switch from 2.4 gigahertz wireless. So it comes with the dongle. And then you get Bluetooth as well. And you can actually connect this. So most Bluetooth devices, how many devices can you connect like a Bluetooth device to typically?
Oh, I don't know.
At one time.
It's Oh, at one, like when it's on and everything, it's usually like one, maybe two.
Typically, when it comes to keyboards, it's three. You can swap between three. This, you can actually swap between eight different devices. If for some reason you had eight devices,
you need that many connected.
Yeah, you could swap through. But I'll show you guys the actual USB cable that it comes with, which actually matches as well. Bring it up here so you guys can kind of see that. So that actually matches the keyboard perfectly, which is really cool. So you have that there, which I really like. But the thing that you see so many keyboards that are made to look cool, but when it comes to performance, they're just not good, right? This keyboard, I am absolutely in love with the way it feels. I was a little worried because if we look at the keyboard from the side here, this is all there's no other vertical adjustment. And I've reviewed keyboards that don't have any vertical adjustment and they just don't sit at the right spot. But this keyboard, for me at least, did sit at the correct, I guess, angle, you would say. And typing on it was extremely comfortable. They've also done something really cool. So they have their own custom switches here. These are made by Kale, but they're specific to this keyboard. They're so specific, if I can talk, that they actually made the switches to match the color of the keyboard as well. That's which awesome. Is really, really cool. So these are very much like a Cherry MX Brown, but they have a faster actuation, which means they're very fast. I always talk about this in my keyboard reviews. Like, you feel you're in the zone when you're typing. You really, really feel like you're in the zone with this. And I'll try to, I don't know if it's going to relate on the podcast here. I'll try to type on it so you guys can hear it. Let's see.
Gotta turn off that NVIDIA broadcast.
Can you hear that at all, Ryan?
Yeah, it sounds very high pitched though. I think it's only picking up like the
click. Yeah.
The click. Yeah.
But it's actually very quiet. Now these aren't a silent switch by any means. But they are, like I said, very, very quiet. So quiet that I would say you could get away with having this keyboard in an office setting. It's not obviously silent, but it's very quiet. It's not like a blue switch. You know how much I love my clickety clackety switches.
Oh, yeah.
I really like these. Like, I was really surprised because they are fast. And I probably do a lot more typing than I do gaming. So I really, really like how these switches feel. Now, what's great about this keyboard, like a lot of these keyboards, is, you know, maybe down the line, I'm going to get into building my own keyboard or, you know, even just like lubing switches or doing different things like that. All of the switches are hot swappable, so you can swap them out, which is really cool on this as well. They give you the tool to pull the switches out so you can, you know, change switches if you want to down the line, which I really, really like as well. It's just like, it's just an awesome looking keyboard. It feels really good. The only thing that I would put against it is the keycaps are not PBT, they are ABS. As you can see from the picture, they are double shot and they're thick wall double shot, which means they do feel pretty sturdy. But as I always say, PBT is definitely a way to go. So that's kind of the one downside to this keyboard. It does come with per key RGB backlighting. You can't really see it here.
Yeah, that's where you lose.
Like that is with lights on, right? That you can't really see anything.
Wow.
Now with the only light from my monitor, this is what it kind of looks like, but it's still not, you know, but I feel like this is a keyboard that's not really, the design of it shows off itself. It doesn't really need the RGB lighting, but it is there. They do have software as well. It makes it really easy to reprogram the keyboard to change the lighting settings if you want. You can set up different shortcuts. There's a macro editor in there. You can kind of do all that, and it works quite well. Just like all of these wireless keyboards, you have to do all the settings in wired mode. You can't do it in wireless mode. You can't do it in Bluetooth mode. You have to do it you have to be connected via USB. But it's, like I said, it's a great keyboard. We do have a sound test in the review article if you want to listen to it. Like I said, it is very, very quiet. Just a really awesome keyboard. Now, Mel Geek was running a Kickstarter, which ended on Monday. So the Kickstarter was $179. You got the keyboard. And it's 100% funded. It's like way over what it was supposed to be funded. But it's going to retail for $229. I don't think it's that bad of a price, considering, again, the design of the keyboard, everything is really high quality as far as, you know, all the components in here are very high quality. The case is high quality. It's awesome. No issues with wireless, whether it was Bluetooth, whether it was 2.4 gigahertz. It does come with software. It is RGB backlit if you want that. Matching USB cable, everything. I gave it a 9 out of 10. The only reason I gave it a 9 is because we don't, again, have the PBT keycaps, and we do not, the RGB lighting is kind of redundant because you don't really necessarily need it or can't really be seen in a dark room. But I gave it 9 out of 10, and our editor's choice, it's probably, at least so far, and I haven't taken a look at a lot of keyboards, and we don't typically review a lot of these like semi enthusiast mechanical keyboards. We do a lot more gaming keyboards.
Right.
So, you know, but I would say this is one of my favorite keyboards that I've reviewed this year so far. So it's really awesome. Like I said, the Kickstarter is over, but they will be making it available. They have an even smaller version that came out initially, which is the Mojo 60-something. I can go to their website.
I was looking at their other one. It looked pretty cool too.
Yeah, and I think we talked about it last week. So this is the 84. Let's see. They have Mojo 68, which is a bit smaller. So same design. And this one's actually offered in a bunch of different designs. It's much smaller, so you lose the function row. But one thing that's really cool is they do have a number pad that matches it, which is really cool, which I don't think I'm going to buy. But it would just go so well with the, you know, with the keyboard I already have. Yeah. But I don't use a number pad enough to really justify buying it.
Yeah.
But it is super cool. But they have a, like I said, in the 68 comes in a bunch of different colors too. So like obviously this is like the plastic one, but they have a bunch of other colors and number pads that match a lot of the colors. So it's really cool. If you're looking for something that's maybe smaller than a 75% keyboard, but yeah, just some awesome stuff. So definitely check out Mel Geek. Check out our review. I had a lot of fun with this one. A lot of fun. So yeah. And then moving over to storage. We have a lot of stuff going in the chat. Did I miss anything in the chat, Ryan?
Just reminiscing a little bit and just talking about transparent mice and then cases and yep.
Yeah. I think it would be cool if they made a mouse. But it is, like I said, I do like the number pad that definitely goes with it.
I have a feeling the mouse would end up being heavier than what like you've become accustomed to, right? It'd be more one of those, not for performance, but for looks pieces.
Yeah. Because the thing about this,
you could do some really cool stuff with it.
The thing about this casing that they're using, it is very heavy. It's a heavier plastic. But yeah, I don't think if you had them all together, that would look super cool on your desk. Keyboard, number pad, and the mouse all together would look pretty awesome. So let's jump over to storage. And I took a look at the first Gen 4 NVMe SSD that has RGB lighting on it. So this is Patriot's Viper VPR4. Oh, wait, I linked to the wrong thing.
Uh-oh.
I definitely linked it. Well, I can just click on it right here. It's wrong in the show notes, so I have to change that. So this is the Patriot VPR 400, very much the same design, or basically the same design as their VPR 100, which we also took a look at. It was the first Gen 3 NVMe SSD to feature RGB lighting. With this drive, of course, we have Gen 4. So it's based off the Innogrit IG5220 controller, which is a DRAM-less controller. So you have no DRAM chip on there for caching. And Micron 196 layer TLC NAND. We actually reviewed the ADATA XPG Atom 50, which has the exact same configuration. And it's a cool drive. It's, you know, M.2 drives, they pretty much all look the same, except for this one, of course, gets RGB lighting. Now, the cool thing about this drive is that there's no wires or anything like that. Or, you know, there's actually, if you look at the drive, like here's an RGB LED, here's an RGB LED. Yeah, they're all surface mounted, which allows you to control them via software. And again, no wires or anything like that. It's pretty simple. But also what it allows you to do is the heatsink is the diffuser. And especially when it comes to newer motherboards, you'll have M.2 slots that like one's this way and one's this way. And in some cases with the way the drive shipped by default, the logo, you know, the Viper logo will be flipped upside down, and that's going to look kind of dumb in your system. So you can easily take the heatsink off and just flip it over. You know, if you had something that was wired, maybe that wouldn't be possible or something like that. It just makes it so you can flip that over.
Jeff, it's the same look on the heatsink and lighting as the previous Viper RGB.
I believe it is.
It looks very similar.
Yeah, I believe it is. Single sided, but again, you do have the heatsink and the diffusers on there as well. And then it does come with their own software, which I do really appreciate because a lot of people do not like motherboard software. People have crazy issues with motherboard software, RGB software. They have their own Viper Gaming, just allows you to easily control. There's a bunch of different effects, but you can actually set the colors of each set of RGB LEDs if you want. If you want a set color, you can do all that, different profiles. Pretty easy to do. This is what it's going to look like in your system. You know, this is with the lights on, so the RGB LEDs are pretty bright, and this is with, you know, the lights off, and you can see how it's going to kind of light up everything. Now, in terms of speed, I wouldn't say it's the fastest Gen 4 drive out there. It's actually, the performance is pretty close to first generation Gen 4 drives, so around 5,000 megabytes a second read and write. The rated speeds for this, I believe, are 40, what are they here? They are 46 megabytes per second read and 4,400 megabytes a second write. So again, right around the first generation of Gen 4 drives that we saw. So it's definitely something to keep in mind, especially when you have a lot of drives out there that can kind of max out around 7,000 megabytes per second. Another thing that I definitely wanted to say about this is that, you know, when the initial drive launched all the way back in 2020, motherboards were a lot different. And what I mean by that is that typically you had your top slot, which had the what had an integrated M.2 heatsink on it. But now pretty much the entire bottom half of our motherboard has M.2 heatsinks on it. And we're just in a different place right now. So, you know, just like in this picture, like if I make this big, this picture right here, you can see the second M.2 here, because this is just one big heatsink that covers two of them. So I would have to fully populate this second one to so it doesn't look dumb, right? Or just in general, if you remove any of the M.2 heatsinks, it kind of changes the look of the motherboard and might make it look worse. I'm not going to say, you know, I think if you outfitted your entire motherboard with these Viper drives, it's going to look awesome. You're going to have, it's going to be super bright. But again, motherboard manufacturers are designing these boards to look a certain way with the heat sinks. Everything's designed together. So if you're just buying one of these drives, you know, again, it's just something to think about, I would say, when it comes to this drive. Another thing is the pricing. So it's available in 500 gigabyte and 1 terabyte. The 1 terabyte is $127.99. Which is actually more expensive than Patriot's own Viper VP4300, which we reviewed. That drive has speeds around 7,000 megabytes per second. So you are paying a premium for the RGB lighting. And again, if the RGB lighting, well, you're not going to be looking at this drive if the RGB lighting isn't important to you anyways, but you can get a lot of drives that perform much faster for cheaper. I would say, or not cheaper, for around the same price. Some of them are a little bit more expensive. Like a lot of the higher end Gen 4 drives are about $20 to $30 more expensive. Again, Viper's own VP4300 is actually a few dollars cheaper than this drive. So I only gave it an 8 out of 10. It's really cool, but I think, again, we're in a different place when it comes to motherboard design. And again, it's not the fastest Gen 4 drive out there. Now, if they use the same controller and same NAND they did on their VP4300 with this M.2, it would definitely be like a 9 out of 10. But it's just not the fastest drive out there right now. And it's, again, Patriot's own drive that's faster is actually a few dollars cheaper. So,
cool.
Yeah. definitely, like I said, something to think about for sure. So yeah, so let's see what we have for Case Mod Friday this week. And a really cool one this week, actually. This is from one of my favorite builders, and I keep on just linking things wrong in these show notes. This was from
line.
Yeah, I just was just yeah. So this is from Snef Computer Design. He's one of my favorite builders, and this is actually a prototype case that he's developing. Which, if he would develop this and sell it, I would probably buy it with everything all of the tubing pre-made. I would probably buy it because it's everything would be good to go, you know?
Yeah.
So here's it without the lights on. It's just this big kind of chunky, massive case. I believe it's
made very heavy.
Yeah. It's made of aluminum as well as, of course, acrylic for the RGB lighting. Has integrated water channels going through it. Integrated reservoirs. Let's get this one with it all lit up. So this is what it looks like all lit up. It has the, you know, sort of chrome hard tubing here connecting everything. But wouldn't this be awesome as a kit?
Yeah, I mean, because yeah, from an outsider's perspective, right, it looks like there's the center motherboard plate, you've got a couple end caps, a bottom piece, right? If you could just like screw this thing together,
mm-hmm.
pop the distro block there, and then it came with like the tubes already bent, because you've just got two lengths there, it looks like, and they're just 90 degree bends. Not to take away from the craftsmanship and what it takes to actually do this, but when you break it down to like that in layman's terms, it looks like something you might be able to convert into a kit of some sort. Yeah,
I would buy it. Oh, and there's a front screen here too. There's a picture of that screen, which I think is also very cool. Do we have a picture of the screen? Oh, I thought I did. You can kind of see the screen here.
Yeah,
it's not turned on. And of course, you have the radiator back there and your power supply kind of all hidden back here as well. But am I just not seeing that? I guess not. Here's if you wanted to, you can kind of see it turned on right here. You know, but if you wanted to do the RGB look as well. But I just think it's really cool. Like, again, I can see this being sold as a kit. And there is a handle at the top right there. Yeah. I don't know if you could pick this thing up by that handle. Maybe. Might be pretty heavy. But really, really cool stuff. And again, this is a prototype case. I don't know if he's developing it to sell as a kit or to sell to companies. I think this is a great way to show off hardware. And this build will be at PAX East and somewhere else he announced on his Facebook page. So yeah, I just think it's really cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, I really like it. The custom channels here and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, you could like mass produce all these, I mean, or, you know, and then have all the everything kind of mass produced in the sizes that you wanted, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, let's see here.
Like
my only thought is, I mean, that bottom line there is universal, right? Your water block, though, might be shifted depending on where your inlet and outlet are on the block itself. But if you said it's compatible with these blocks or sold all the cooling as a kit, then absolutely.
Yeah. There's the screen turned on right here.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I think it's really cool. Imagine this big thing sitting on your desk. It looks awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely a fan. So again, shout out to Snef. He always does amazing work. We have his Facebook linked if you want to check out some of his stuff. But yeah, if you're going to PAX East, I believe this build will be there. I believe this is done for ASUS. I believe so. That's probably
they were showing off. There's a bunch of tough components, and the screen had a ASUS.
Yeah, so I believe. Yeah, possible. And the power supply is ASUS as well. So I think that's probably where this will be. So if you are going there, you can check out this case in person. I would love to see this thing in person. Probably pick it up and just walk away with it.
You guys are done with this, right?
Yeah. You're done with that. So definitely check that out. And of course, we have our full section of Case
Mod. Yeah, Friday Nelson, builds. There should be a link in that article with a link to their Facebook page.
Yeah. Let's bring it back up so I can show them. Yeah. So in all of our Case Mod Fridays, we always link to the builders. So if you're on here, it usually just says builder, and then this will link to his Facebook, which you can see. And I believe, yeah, so CNE and PAX West, this is actually him packing it up all ready to go for that. But yeah, you can see the build right here. What's CNE? CNE must be something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, we always link to either their Facebook or if they have a shop or whatever it is, it's always linked on there, under the builder, under builder, it's usually linked right there. So you can definitely go ahead and check that out. Talking about cases, we are still giving away our giveaway is still going on with Fractal Design. We're giving away their Pop Air RGB case, super easy to enter. And we don't have a ton of entries on this for some reason. Typically we get over like 10,000, but yeah, get your entry in. It's an awesome case, good for airflow. It looks really cool. It comes with RGB fans, and it's this exact one. So it's the one that has the orange interior. Super easy to enter this one. Just like all of our contests, just it's all through Gleam. You just sign up for our newsletter, and then after you sign up for our newsletter, there's 16 other ways to enter. So like, you know, subscribing to our YouTube or doing the other things, you'll be able to get entered to win this case. And we have at least one more contest coming up, if not another one. I haven't thrown a Steam code in our Discord. Maybe I'll do that after we get off here, before we start gaming. We'll throw another Steam code in the Discord for all you guys as well. So yeah, super easy to enter. If you guys don't know where this is on the website, I'll show it to you real quick. So if you're at the website, you just go up top and click on contests on the main page, and then Fractal Design Pop Air RGB, boom, and then you just sign up. It's that easy. Takes 2 seconds. Get your entry in, because there's only 6 days left for this. So next week when we're doing the podcast, it will be over. So definitely get your entry in for that one as well. And that moves us on to news. A lot of really cool stuff this week that I'm super excited about when it comes to Ryzen stuff. But first, let's start with graphics cards. More information has been dropped on the upcoming RTX 4070, which probably would be a card that Ryan would upgrade to, I would think, because he's rocking a 2070.
Yeah, 2070 Super. I don't know. This time around, I'm considering going higher, but I'm usually that 70 person, right? I had a 970 yeah. GTX. I had a AMD card kind of in between there, a 580 that I took a look at after the 970. And then, yeah, the 2070. So,
yeah. So, more information on this card. It's going to feature 7,680. Cores and 12 gigabytes of GDDR6. It will share will have the full AD104 GPU fully maxed out, at least according to these latest rumors. This configuration, based on what we know, would give it the same performance of a 3090 Ti.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. 12 gigabytes of GDDR6X memory. That would be a nice little bump, you know.
Absolutely. But that's also what makes me want to go that next level up, right? Because
yeah,
I'm only getting the performance of a current generation card, and so it kind of makes you feel like, well, that's been available to me. I don't know, it'd still be great, and I'm sure at hopefully a lower cost than the current generation card for that performance level.
Yeah, so lots of leaks have been popping out for the RTX 40 series. I always call it 40. Like, I called it the RTX 30 series. Do people call it the RTX 4000 series? I just feel it sounds...
I say both sometimes. I usually, I think, say 30 series and 40 series.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you think about what you call, like, a GTX, a 980, right? Like, that, I would call it the 9 series. Nobody ever called it the 900 series, I don't think.
Yeah.
Same thing with like a 1080. We call it the 10 and then the
yeah.
variant. So I think it's safe to call it the 20 series and the 30 series and 40 series, but whatever.
All right. Well, yeah, I agree.
I just have to listen to the next, like the launch video, and see how Jensen.
Yeah. How he says it. But yeah, also 300 watt TDP on this for a 70 series card. So yeah. Also on the other spectrum, so ASRock launched their Challenger card. We talked about it. It was leaked. Yep. They officially launched it. Their Intel Arc A380 Challenger. The official product name is the Intel Arc A380 Challenger ITX 6GB OC. It is like an ITX card. I mean, it's very small, single fan in the center. Base frequency 2250 megahertz, which is actually higher than the only other retail card. That's the Gunner card, which is a Chinese company, which their card was at 2000 megahertz. The boost frequency is not listed on ASRock's website. But yeah, they launched this card. And what's really interesting is ASRock themselves put out a review of the card. They put it out on, I don't know how to say it, Weibo. It's like the Chinese Facebook.
Yep. Yeah.
Whatever that's Weibo, called. I think, yeah. Weibo. They put out their own review, which is really interesting. So it gives you kind of some idea of how this card will perform, which is kind of good. But at the same time, it makes me wonder, you know, you don't typically see manufacturers put out their own reviews. So is it a hard sell, or are they just trying to get the word out because it's not a, it's not readily available like in the United States per se, you know what I mean?
Right.
They put out a bunch of game tests. I'll go through the results. These are all at 1080p. So League of Legends in high quality, 166 FPS. CSGO, high quality, 160 FPS. Dota 2, high quality, 146.2 FPS. Apex Legends, medium quality, 91.5 FPS. PUBG, low quality, 83.1 FPS. Eternal Calamity, medium quality, 62.3 FPS. Division 2, high quality, 53 FPS. Shadow of the Tomb Raider, high quality, 56 FPS. Cyberpunk 2077, medium quality, 47.51. Gears of War 5, high quality, 63.1. Watch Dogs Legion, 49 FPS. So I would say this is going to be, this is a good esports card, probably why they launched it in China initially, right? You're going to be able to play all of those esports titles at super, you know, League of Legends, CSGO, Dota 2, Apex, even at medium quality, you know, well over 60 FPS. And then when it gets into some other games, you're going to have to turn the quality down and you're going to get right around, you know, 50 to 60 FPS in those games. Again, not super excited for us because obviously we like the super high end,
right?
Graphics cards and everything like that. And again, I don't believe this card is available in the United States. Yes, like ASRock isn't selling it yet here. It's only been sold there in China, so we're not sure if we're going to even see this card in the United States.
It reminds me a lot of the older cards, like that heatsink, especially just the low end older cooling aluminum, you know, heatsink that we got there. But yeah, A-Pen Cutter, it's kind of a little surprising for the power of this card, as far as performance power, that is.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, like I said, and it is interesting that ASRock themselves put out the review, or at least put the review on social. So
yeah,
I don't know. Well, we'll see kind of,
I mean, it's not uncommon for them to give some specs or like say, oh, this card gets this, but like a more of a review is kind of odd for a company to actually come out with.
Yeah. Yeah. So we will, see how that goes, if it comes to the United States or not. Moving over to Ryzen 7000 series, we have new leaks this week. First, we get to look at the packaging, or supposed packaging. This is what the packaging is supposed to look like. This would be for a Ryzen 9. I assume the major differences that you would see would, you know, if it's a Ryzen 7, this would be a 7, and Ryzen 5, this would be a 5. I don't know. It kind of, I mean, it's cool because you have the actual AMD logo, and you know, you can kind of see the AMD logo there, the Ryzen little circle thingy. I don't know. Fine. I don't know. If you think anything differently of it, or if it looks, you know, how it looks, but yeah,
no, I think It's fine. It's nothing like crazy flashy by any means, but
it's kind of like not, I mean, the gray or black, it doesn't necessarily stand out per se. Like the, you can't, they're behind me.
I know, but like
the other Ryzen ones kind of stood out a little.
Other than you and like some other people, you know, that make content like this, my Ryzen boxes, not that I don't have them, because I do, they're just in a storage closet, you know, like, or in a Tupperware, you know, crate. In the closet. So, I mean, they're not shut off, but yeah, if you're at the, you know, the store, the Micro Center or whatever, and you're looking for a processor and you've got this whole lineup of them, like it's not the flashy one that's going to stick out to you.
Yeah.
I do like the big numbers though on there, right? Indicating this is a Ryzen 9. So like, okay, maybe 9's out of my price range, or I wasn't looking for that much power, so I'm going to find the one with the 7, right? And kind of go from there.
Yeah. So that's this again, this is leaked. We don't know if this is official. Yeah. It could just be something else. We don't know. But I, like I said, I do like how they incorporated the actual AMD logo. And it almost makes me think it's like the old school logo because nobody really uses that AMD logo anymore. So you kind of have that on there. So yeah, so that is for the packaging. Also, we have details on the DDR5 sweet spot. So if you've done a Ryzen build, or you know anything about Ryzen, you know that there are specific memory speeds that you kind of want for the system to operate at its optimal speed. Typically, it's 3600 megahertz when it comes to Ryzen 3000 and 5000 series. That's kind of, you know, what you're really looking for. And for Ryzen 7000 series, it's going to be DDR5 6000 or 6000 megahertz. This would allow the Infinity Fabric to run at a 1-to-1 ratio for best possible system performance. That's actually higher than the normal approved speed, which is 5600 megahertz. 5600 megahertz, which is like, you know, that is what the chipset is, or the, you know, the CPU is spec for. And it does look like that AMD has added a different range of new memory and bus related features to AM5. He tweeted all this stuff out. So again, the max Infinity Fabric frequency is 3000 megahertz. So again, if you're running DDR5 memory and dual channel, each DIMM is running at 3000 megahertz, not 6000, if you guys know how all that works. So if this is true and it's running at 1-to-1, that means that it would actually have better memory performance and timings than current Alder Lake and upcoming Rocket Lake processors as well. So that would be a big win for AMD on that stuff. A bunch of different timing stuff that you guys can take a look at if you're interested in that, you know, that have been optimized from the previous generation. So will DDR5 6000 be the, you know, the kit to get for Ryzen, at least according to these leaks and people who have tested this stuff, who have them, that seems to be, that's going to be the kit that you want. So yeah, pretty excited. That means Ryzen stuff's coming soon, man. It's coming up.
It's going to be here quick.
Yeah, it's going to be here real quick. I'm pretty excited. Talking about that, Asus kind of went over their Crosshair X670E motherboard. When we initially got the announcements of the, what's it called? Of the X670, X670E chipset, they did detail their ROG Crosshair X670E Extreme. The other day, they detailed their ROG Crosshair X670E Hero. And this is a motherboard,
Ryan. For me. That's right.
It has so many USB ports. And that's one thing.
I'll use them all.
They did talk about the Extreme board, but they never showed the rear I.O. of it, which is this one. But even for the Hero board, which is like their entry-level Crosshair board, you know, entry-level ROG Crosshair board, there's so much USB awesome. On this and they're all super fast too. So you have, you know, you have your USB 4.0, which is 40 gigabit or whatever. You have two of them, and they also support, what do they support, they support DisplayPort alt mode, and they also support quick charge. So they support 60 watt USB PD and Qualcomm Quick Charge 4 Plus on the back, so you can charge your mobile devices super fast. Wow. With those. On the Hero, you only get 2.5 gig LAN. On the Extreme, you're getting 2.5 gig and 10 gig LAN. So much stuff on these boards. Wi-Fi 6E, obviously, Bluetooth 5.2. Lots and lots of stuff going on with this board. 5 M.2 slots, and it comes with the expansion card, just like the previous one.
Take away the Wi-Fi and the audio ports and give me more USB.
What are you going to connect with all these? I mean, like, one of these USB 4 ports you can put out to a hub that would do...
What, depending a USB on, 4 hub?
I mean...
How many of those do you see?
Yeah, you know. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on this board as far... Like, that's the one thing I've always liked about the high-end Asus boards is, like, they put as many USB ports on there as they can. And there's a lot. You also get internal USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 internally, and that's the one that has the 60 watts charging. So this is one gonna connect to the front of your case, and you get 60 watt charging, so you can plug in your phone and it's going to charge like a normal
Also the six USB 2.0 well, technically three headers in that top right image. They're showing the six USB 2.0 in the right image up top.
Which one?
Just to the left. Bottom left of the top right image.
I don't know what you're saying, but these ones.
Yeah. So you have three, right? Typically, you're getting, like, on a lot of boards nowadays, you only have one or two.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're adding three, because devices like some of the Corsair coolers and then the controllers that you still utilize that USB 2.0 header, sometimes you'll have to get like a splitter or something. So having three of them on there is actually really nice.
Nelson in the chat says this is an Intel board. I wish this is an AMD board. It's hard to see. It says AMD Ryzen right here. So it does look like an Intel board because, again, with Ryzen 7000 series and AM5, which is the socket here, Intel or AMD is going from PGA, which is the previous where the chip actually has the pins on it, to LGA, which is the same as like an Intel chip where the pins are actually on the board. So the socket looks much like an Intel socket, but it is an AMD socket. So this is an AMD board. And again, Crosshair, ROG Crosshair has always been AMD. So when you hear what's the Maximus is the Intel, the Crosshair is the AMD when it comes to Asus's ROG high-end boards. There's a lot going on. But what Ryan was saying, with these three down here, again, you have like, you got to connect, you know, an AIO, and you usually run out of these ports. That's why that NZXT thing?
The internal USB 2.0?
Yeah, the internal.
Yeah, header. I mean, one of those, not in this build, but actually it is in this build. Yeah, I needed one for my board because the Crosshair, God, what is this? Four? I don't even remember what board it is, but it only had one on board, if I'm not mistaken, and I had to go out and buy a hub to support my devices.
Yeah, so a lot going on both of these boards. I'm trying to think if there's anything else crazy on either of these boards, but there's just a lot of stuff just going on with these, which is just awesome. Really excited for X670E motherboards to be coming out. So a lot of information on these boards. Check out the post, or again, we have all these pictures that you guys can check out of all the connectors, and you can kind of see everything. But I think this Crosshair is going to be the board. It gets you into the high end ROG series at a lower cost than say the Extreme board, but it has a lot of the same features. It's going to look awesome. So yeah. Definitely stay tuned for all that. We're having that stuff probably next month. Have a lot of that stuff available. So yeah. Ryan, you are up with your with Ryan. Ryan has the last four stories of the podcast. So what do we got here?
Mine are just products that have kind of been released here and brought up. So let's pull this into the stream real quick here. First up, we've got Fractal kind of expanding their line of existing cases. And that includes the Define 7 and Meshify 2 case lineups. So they've kind of created some smaller versions of those cases. I kind of expected to see this, to be honest. We've seen it with their previous versions of a lot of these cases, but now we have it with the Define 7 and Meshify 2. So we have the Mini and Nano, so essentially supporting MATX and MITX motherboard form factors a little better, right? So we've got the Meshify 2 Mini, which is the MATX version of the Meshify 2. I've always been a fan of the MATX form factor. I think it's honestly my favorite.
I think it's not widely used enough.
I know, and I don't understand why, because ATX boards, right? How many PCIe slots were on that Crosshair board? What, 3 or 4? SLI is not really a thing. Like, what else are you adding in there most of the time?
And again, you're with the mainstream chipsets, you're only getting X16 on one of those slots.
Right. So MATX will give you everything you need.
Yeah. Well, the thing I think that it's just everybody is either ATX or Mini or ITX. Small thing.
I know.
Yeah.
People it's like don't realize there's a background there that actually is really nice.
Yeah.
So anyhow, rant over. I'm a fan of MATX, but it's nice to see Fractal kind of expanding out. Also, the Define 7 Mini, same thing, MATX support. Obviously, they will support MITX as well. And then you have the Nano, which is kind of geared towards those smaller MITX. Obviously, we have a 3-slot graphics card option here, whereas we have 4 on the MATX on both of those. I think this was something we expected to come out from Fractal. Like I said, they've done this with many of their other versions of these cases in the past.
Do you think, but I think they're the smaller setting
just come out a little later
for
setting a precedent?
Setting the standard for a high end, or for like most pretty big case companies to be like, mm-hmm. you know, because again, if you fall in love with a case, you're like, oh, I wish it was smaller.
Yeah,
I wish I had that exact same case but smaller, or I wish I had that exact same case but bigger. Because again, Fractal is also doing their XLs. So yeah. There's a Define 7
like 4 sizes XL of every case.
Yeah, that's very hard to do when it comes to manufacturing and all that stuff and what's going to sell and what's not going to sell, obviously. But it allows a user who loves either a company or a case design to, you know, or again, if somebody's doing a second build, like, hey, I'm building a streaming PC, but I love the look of that Meshify. Like, I love the look of the mesh on the front. Or I like its airflow, or I just like Fractal and how everything is metal. There's not a whole lot of plot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yep. They can choose the size for the build they want. They can actually have a whole line of PCs they built with the same design case, which is really cool as well. I'm a huge fan of this. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Them in multiple color combinations too, right? Like they offer the white, a lot of times white with a white interior, or white with a black interior, black, a tempered glass side panel, or a solid side panel.
Yeah.
Those are all like, you know, options that they typically offer. So like you said, it's pretty unique that they can do that.
Yeah, it's really cool. So we got offered to review these, but I haven't had time to get these, but maybe we'll take a look at one, or maybe if we'll talk about the end of the podcast, but I'm gonna be upgrading my main system.
You've said that for about a year, I think.
I know, but we'll talk about it after. We'll go to the next story, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah. All right. So this one's a little different. It's a lot different. It's an aquarium PC, right? And I've seen this like gimmicky, right, one-off type of thing where someone has custom built theirs and incorporated an aquarium and fish tank, but this is like straight from a company. Combine two of your hobbies, I guess, right? Like PC gaming and your fish tank.
Here's the issue that I see with this, because let me bring it up on my so I can look at it. But
yeah,
the thing that I see with this is that this is, again, this is from like a company in China, and you can order it on Alibaba. It's only $60. The issue that I see with this is that, one, this is like your computer is 100% stationary. If you there's no top to this. Like, there's no top to the actual aquarium.
Well, but look, they've got, see how they have it on the side?
That's their older version of the case.
Oh, it is.
So, okay, okay. So like, if you look at that one.
That's true. That's true.
If you look at the bottom picture.
Yeah, it, there's
no top. So, like, if you're like, oh, I got to switch a USB and you, like, bump the case, it's going to get water everywhere.
So, again, it's very gimmicky.
Yeah, it's only $60. It's wow. Very. We just wanted to post it because we think it's. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
To have one of these running.
If you got to change stuff out, and then how is the heat of the PC affecting the heat of the water in the tank? Right, some fish need a certain temperature. Yeah. A lot of times, you actually have to add a heater to the water, so maybe that'd help. But I don't want this type of water. I mean, coming from someone that has water cooling his system right now, I don't want this kind of water anywhere near my PC.
Yeah, it's just a little, weird. Yeah. But I thought it was funny. We just wanted to put it out there.
Yeah, I saw that. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then I like this a lot. Glorious Gaming, which we've taken a look at, many of their products over the past couple of years. They have the GMMK numpad on pre-order starting next week. Next week? Somewhere. Pretty soon. This is like one of those combo devices that you think of in your head. You're like, it'd be cool. Like, this is one of those stoner moments where you're like, wouldn't it be cool if you had a numpad with like a DJ slider and a knob on it so you could, do all the things? And I'm like, yeah, that would be pretty cool. So they're offering this GMMK numpad with 17 programmable keys, a pressable rotary encoder knob, which I'll call the dial, I guess, a slider, RGB lighting. This thing's awesome. I can think That's of cool. so many uses for yeah. this. Like, I would actually put it to the left of my keyboard and use it kind of like a Stream Deck, right? You can go through, assign different functions to these buttons, use the slider to either like fade in and out of a scene in OBS or adjust volume. And same thing with the dial. I think this is a really awesome product that they're going to be offering.
Yeah.
Got some cool lighting on there. I do believe it's wireless as well, isn't it? Like it
yeah, has a... it's wireless.
Yep.
Bluetooth 5.0.
Yeah, this thing's pretty sweet. Yeah. $130. That's not bad.
And
you can get a pretty nice keyboard for $130, but I still think $130 is an all right.
It's hot here. Swappable too, so you can swap out the switches if you want. It comes with their Glorious Fox linear switches. And their GSV2 stabilizers on there, ABS double shot keycap. But again, you can swap out the switches. I think this would be great if you're like trying to figure out what kind of switches you might want, and you can kind of test them out on this thing too, yeah. Which is pretty cool. Two different colors, it looked like.
Yeah, like a silver, and I can't tell if this is actually a blue or if it's just the lighting.
Yeah.
Maybe darker gray. Black slate. That's right.
Yeah, but very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty cool.
And it definitely complements, the smaller 60-65% keyboards as well.
Absolutely.
Especially if you are using a number pad a lot.
Just need one every now and then, like move it out of the way. And then when you do need it, like pull it out of the drawer or just
sign
back where you need it.
Yeah. So very cool stuff. Which was it 130 you said?
Yeah, $130.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, I just wouldn't use it. Just like the ones that the one that matches this other keyboard. Like I wouldn't use it enough.
Yeah.
But if you are going to use it, I think it's an awesome choice. And again, Glorious has like that pretty big fan base with all of their other keyboards and other devices. So this just makes sense for them, I would say. So,
yep.
Yeah.
And then last up, the MSI Meg AI 1300P with PCIe 5, world's first ATX 3.0 compliant power supply with the 600 watt PCIe connector.
I still feel that like that much power going through a single cable is just
it's quite a bit.
I mean, yeah. I know it's gonna be safe, but just like in my head, I'm like, that's just like a lot of power to be going through a single
600 watt. I mean, you're splitting it up between what 12 pins here,
yeah.
But I mean, we're all going to have to move to it at some point, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got it out here, fully modular power supply, ready for PCIe 5 and ATX 3.0 specs. And actually, I say 12 major pins, and then you have the four. I think they're just utilized to do some monitoring and other function. But let's see here. Yeah, we got just some info regarding their testing results and things like that.
Yeah.
Wattages, man. It's crazy. We like early 2000s, wattages seemed to be going up, and then everybody was like, no, you don't need that much power for components. Like, you're fine with 650 watts, right? Like, I still haven't swapped out my power supply that I ordered like 9 months ago. Like, I'm running my system on a 650 watt power supply.
That's scary to me. That's scary.
And here we are, you know, with a quite a few more watts.
This is a 1300.
It's 1300 watts, so like more than
but twice, I think with the next generation Nvidia cards, I mean, we've heard
you're just gonna have rumors to have it, yeah.
We've heard rumors of 800 watts, you know, for a 4090 Ti or whatever. So I mean, you're probably going to need it for this next generation of Nvidia cards, at least if you're running the super high end card. You know, I have a 1000 watt power supply in my system, but I'm running a 3090 and I'm running an old high end desktop, Intel high end desktop chip, quad channel memory. So I need a little bit more, but I still don't think I'm using remotely close to that 1000 watt figure. So, but yeah, and if you think about it too, I mean, 1300 watts, you know, if you're running multiple fans, you're running water cooling, you're doing a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah,
a bunch of other stuff going on. Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense to have it. That connector, like I said, is just that. Yeah, it's a
monster.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to make things easier, though, because again, you know, if something's pulling 800 watts, that'd be what, 3-4 eight pins, you know, normal PCI Express power connectors. So, right. So yeah.
I mean, yeah, you see, you know, PCIe, you got three PCIe. Actually, I take that back. There's three grouped here and three grouped here. So you have six PCIe. You got your 12 volt SATA and Molex CPU connectors, you got two 8 pins, and then your ATX. But old man says, yeah, an 800 watt 4090 to warm your house in the winter. I know this, my system will warm it up in the winter. I close my door in the wintertime and you walk out into the rest of the basement and it's noticeably cooler. And right now it's 77 in my room, which is pretty warm for me.
Hotter than that. And this room right here gets so hot. And I actually have the door open. Typically, I didn't have the door open before, but I have to leave the door open.
I try to. I just kind of forgot tonight. But like, I'm guessing in the other room next to me, it's like 65 in the basement.
Yeah.
So it'll heat it up real quick. And I'm just sitting here on a podcast doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Nelson in the chat asked if this was an EVGA. No, it's an MSI. MSI is the first one. Yep. You'll see everybody else follow suit. So especially when I would say next generation GPUs launch from NVIDIA and AMD, you will see a whole new slew of power supplies with this connector. Probably you'll probably have 1000 watt and you'll have 1300 watts. Some you might even get a 1500 watt. That's probably where they'll start. I don't think they'll start at 850. They'll probably start at 1000 and there'll be a 1300 watt model and maybe a 1500 watt model. So cool stuff. That wraps up our news. We'll go to what we're going to be talking about next week. I'm taking a look at the case, and it's a case from a company that you might not know made cases, but they do. And this one's actually pretty cool. So it is from MSI. It's their Gungner. Gungner 110R. This case has actually been out for a little bit, but this is the new white version. Comes with four RGB fans. It is a smaller case, kind of not as long, or you know, because we don't have much in the front. But it's all white. It looks pretty cool. And again, it's $100. Okay. So pretty good. It's $99.99. Again, four RGB fans in there. And MSI sent us over an AIO and an all-white power supply. So we're going to do a semi-all-white build. I don't have a white graphics card, and I don't have a white motherboard, but we're going to have all-white fans, white AIO, and
nothing
white...
a spray can can't fix.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you're the big modder over here. But yeah, it's a pretty, like I said, it's a pretty cool case. Here you can actually see it with the probably the same AIO that we're using. We have the 240, which I'm actually going to mount just like this, just in the top here. So,
cool.
So yeah, so definitely stay tuned for that. And then Ryan's going to be taking a look at a headset, which if you guys notice, he actually has it on right now. What is that?
Yeah, this is from EPOS. They're kind of the gaming portion of Sennheiser. This is the the H3 Pro Hybrid. Comes in a couple colors. The site that Bob's got pulled up now shows the blue, but it also comes in this like black, green, and gold, which I really like the black, green, and gold colorway.
Let's see if I can bring up that one. I did know that I like
They've got it on the click there. Yep. So they call it the hybrid. It's got a ton of connectivity options, right? You've got your 3.5 millimeter Bluetooth, 5.2 wireless dongle. You can do it via, you know, connected via just a USB cable. So tons of connectivity options for PC, Mac, consoles, mobile devices, things like that. Really just a kind of a cool high-end looking, and some of the features on it are, you know, higher end than you'll get out of a standard gaming headset.
You can do wireless, and is the wireless just Bluetooth, or does it come with a...
No, it has both. It has wireless dongle, you know, like a USB dongle for your wireless connectivity, and then Bluetooth as well. Active noise cancellation as well. That's a really nice feature. That little switch right there that's on the bottom there switches the ANC on and off.
Is it good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Definitely, like I said, it's pricey. It's $279. So,
yeah. I just switched it on because I don't typically have it on. And it's like,
still going? Every time I've like reviewed noise canceling headphones, I get like scared because like you don't hear anything around you, and you're like, oh wait, is somebody here?
Like, how I get when I play VR, because you're like, I'm looking around at this environment, but like I'm always like peeking out, like, did somebody sneak in? You're absolutely right. It kind of definitely isolates you.
Nice. Well, we're excited to have those reviews to check out next week, and I'm excited to hear about those headphones. They look awesome on your head.
The material, you can kind of see here, it's the your typical like leatherette material here, but then on the part that actually contacts your face, it's a cloth material.
Oh, that's soft, interesting.
Nice.
Well, that is everything that we're gonna be talking about.
Old man gonna give us the free game on.
Yeah, old man, you gotta tell us the free game in there. Talking about I've been wanting to, like I said, but I really have, like, this computer is just falling apart. Like, my main system that's running this podcast right now is like, I just like look at it and I'm like, I just want to throw this thing away. it's just acting up left and right. I think my biggest thing is I haven't found a case that I really, really like. Like, I have the Fractal design, and that's what I was kind of going for, which was the No, it's the Torrent. So I have both the Torrent and the Torrent Compact. I probably was going to do the big boy Torrent, but then again, I don't need all that space, but it would be good for airflow because the Torrent, the original Torrent has the big three fans on the bottom. Yep. And it would be the only, it would like, I have a 360 mil AIO from Fractal that I was going to install in there as well, but I had to put it on the front of the case. Which kind of makes airflow a little weird if I put the AIO on the front of the case.
Yeah. Okay, weird.
Yeah. And then I was thinking of the height, the Y60, which I have a red one here. I have to review it still. So that those are the two that are in the running for the this is the case I'm talking about. I don't have it shared on here, but this case, which I was gonna make the main, but I'm gonna be going from Intel high-end desktop to AMD. I have a 5950X. That's just been sitting here since I reviewed it. So gonna do that with the motherboard was that? I can't remember the motherboard, the ROG Crosshair Extreme that I have. And again, it has to find, because this is a little bit bigger. It's a little bit bigger of a board.
Fill so it, have to make it look nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So have that loaded up with M.2s. We're doing all M.2s, all Gen 4 M.2s on this. And then 64 gigabytes of memory. I have to figure out which memory I want. I got to figure out fans. Like, there's a lot of stuff to figure out with this build. But I have almost all the parts. I'd have to get the memory. Still going to keep the same 1,000-watt power supply.
Yeah.
You know, I have that Corsair. The Corsair one has a 10-year warranty. So have that. Yeah, not much else. So that's going to be coming together. I also have been, every time I come in this room, I really want to get a live edge desk top for my desk.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to like the aesthetic of it over I have an all white
desk. What about the feel? Like, do your arms, do you think your arms are going to catch on it or anything?
Well, it will be finished. Like, it will be finished and all that. You can, from Home Depot, you can buy finished live edge. Those are the two. And I want to I just need to change this room up. You know, like, you just been in the same spot. Like, you need to change it up. So those are the two things. Obviously, we'll tell you guys about it. My progress and all these things, probably make videos for all that stuff. So definitely stay tuned for that.
Cool.
A lot more videos coming on I've shot a lot of stuff. I just haven't shot the part of me talking to the camera, but I've shot all the B-roll for a lot of videos. So we have a lot of stuff coming on the YouTube channel. I just got to get off my ass and get it all done. Talking about free games, Old Man, Unrailed is free right now, and Cook Serve Delicious 3 tomorrow on Epic. Is that like a cooking game? Never heard of it.
Nah, I don't know. I looked at it and I don't think I'm actually going to grab it.
But those are the free games on Epic. Of course, thanks to Old Man for that. We're going to be heading over to Twitch. So every Wednesday night we do the podcast and then we jump over and play some games. So if you want to keep on hanging out with us, it's just twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan will have a stream up here as soon as we get off of the podcast here. Of course, thanks everybody for coming out. Real quick. Old Man also said there's a Resident Evil bundle on Humble Bundle right now for $30. It includes 11 games, Resident Evil games. That's pretty cool as well. So definitely check that out. But of course, like I said, we are heading over to Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Get over there. You can make fun of how bad we are at Apex Legends, because that's what we'll be playing. And appreciate everybody coming out, everybody in the live stream, and of course, everybody that listens later. Also, jump in our Discord, thinkcomputers.org/Discord. I will throw a Steam code in there as soon as we get off here. If I remember, I have to find where I have all these codes. I have a bunch of codes. So we'll throw one in there, and hopefully we'll see everybody over on Twitch, and we'll see you guys next week.